You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is the Coach Approach. It is Thursday, which means we're going to be diving into scheme, player evaluations. You know we're talking some O-line. Excited today because I got my man with me, Ant from 49ers Cutback. How we doing, Ant?
Doing great. You know, it's so much easier. I said this yesterday, but it's so much easier to talk about 49ers football when they win. It always makes things easier. Even when you see things that aren't great on film, you're still like, you know what? But they won. They found a way to win. I love this part of it. There's going to be the dips too. We're going to lose. 49ers are going to lose some games and it's going to be tough, but I love the fact they started, you know, on the road and won two games. And yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. It's a Thursday. I'm excited about the weekend, the chances of the 49ers getting a big win. And this is exactly what football season's all about.
Man, it's funny because, you know, I talked on the show yesterday and I was like, dude, it's so easy to coach up players after a win. Like whenever they don't have to fear for their jobs and like have that idea or that anxiety, man, I cost the team, whatever else. Like, so we're going to get to that. So we're going to talk fourth quarter strategy. We're going to talk Connor Colby. I got to hear Ant's evaluation of Connor Colby. We're going to do some Cardinals preview stuff. We're going to talk some CMC. And I want to hear some negatives that Ant saw on tape, because I don't want it just to be all positive, because it's not all positive, right? There are 100 plus plays. There were some negatives. So give me, I'm going to want to hear some negatives, but what I got to start with one of the ultimate positives of all time. Check this out. Ant, this was given to me by none other than Jack, 14-year-old, made this for me. Are you kidding me? His parents brought it out to the Rush road trip. And so I just wanted to say, thank you, Jack. You are absolutely incredible. I have this hanging up next to me. So I smile all the time, and shout out to Thomas's brother. Can't wait to see you guys soon, but Shannon, Don, Jack, Thomas, you guys are the best. absolutely love the faithful and just the giving spirit and all those things that come across this community, my friend. I'm just so thankful to be a part of it. That's why I'm wearing this hat, man. I'm wearing this hat all the time now. My faithful hat, because I'm a fan of the fans. Like this fan base is unbelievable. So let's dive in. Brock Purdy, injured but practicing. What did you think about the video clips that were out yesterday? And where are you on to Brock or not to Brock? Do you roll with Mac Jones knowing? Do you rest? It's a divisional game. How important this week is. And walk us through kind of your thoughts just on the quarterback process.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always interesting because we did this right with Christian McCaffrey before week one, where McCaffrey's out there for the media. He's doing his thing. He's running around. And then Kyle's like, I don't know. You know, he's questionable. Yeah, I am. How do you feel about it? Questionable. Yeah, you know, like Kyle's kind of doing his thing with the media. But with Brock out there, you know, I was watching him a little bit. And, you know, he looks a little ginger. I don't think he was putting full pressure on the foot. I think he's definitely working some things out. I'm sure this is a natural part of the progression. I don't know if he's going to be ready to go. I will say this. If he is capable of playing, you roll with your guy, right? I mean, that's who you put out there. If he's healthy and capable of playing, you do that. Now, if there's a chance that he can make it worse, if this could become, you know, a Joe Burrow situation, then 100% you wait and you go with Mac Jones. So I think you just let this thing play out. You know, it was interesting that they were pointing out that he was getting third team reps, you know, and then Matt Maiocco came out and said, hey, maybe Brock Purdy's available as the second team quarterback. And maybe that's what it is this week, right? He's the emergency quarterback in case something happens to Mac Jones. And I'd be okay with that sort of thought process as well. But if he's 100% or even not even 100%, 85%, you probably roll with Brock Purdy. If he's closer to 50%, then go with Mac Jones. He's still going to give you a really good chance to win.
Yeah. If he's close, you start him. Like, there's no quarterback controversy, and anybody who says that, sorry, that's just a goober take. It's Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is the guy. And so I would take Brock Purdy at 75% over. I believe in division games. Like, that is – it's everything to me. And you're right now you're looking at, okay, this division looking pretty damn tough, Ant. You've got three undefeateds. No other division has more than one undefeated. The NFC West has three. And the only loss of the division was by the division itself when the 49ers beat the Seahawks. Now you add on to that. Last year, the 49ers went one. They only had one divisional win. One. That was it. You went 1-5 in the division. You can already surpass last year's division wins this week. This is everything. So I'm treating this like a playoff game. It's your home opener. You're wearing the best uniforms in football. You fight with the wall on that one. And also, shout out to the 49ers finally realizing, man, use that insane heat and sun as an advantage like Tampa and Miami did to you the last couple of years. Like, come on, man. Let's get that going. But this is a playoff game. It really, really is. These divisional games are everything. So if Brock can go, he goes. And the fact that he's out there already limited, now you have to see how the toe responds, right? Like, I won't be shocked if Brock is do not practice today, or if he's limited and literally does nothing. It goes out there for warmups, because this is what Kyle wants. Like, Kyle will lie through his teeth whenever it comes to injuries and whatever else, but the video clips are out there, the warmup. Looks ginger, not redhead, but looks like, you know, can he push off? Can he drive? Can he escape pressure? What's your biggest concern with this turf toe? Is it the follow through on the throws? Is it the escaping pressure? Is it just pain tolerance? Like, what is your concern whenever you're looking at the way Brock Purdy's body responds and what you're like, hey, if this, then okay.
Yeah, I think it's him stepping into his throws, you know, getting that ability to kind of make those big throws. That's part of his problem down the stretch in week one, is he can't get enough juice on it, right? The Pearsall, it would have been touchdown. Now we know why it didn't get there. Or even when he's trying to force those balls down the field, he just doesn't have the juice in his foot to be able to do it. So if he can step and he can put pressure on that foot and deliver with a full follow through, then he's capable of playing. You know, I mean, Mac Jones wins from the pocket. There's no reason Brock Purdy couldn't win from the pocket. You don't have to have all that escapability as part of his game plan. So I think that they're going to be, you know, kind of looking at him. But this is exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. In week one, he wanted them to guess. Is it going to be Christian McCaffrey? Is it not going to be Christian McCaffrey? Now he wants them preparing to game plans. Do we prepare for Brock Purdy, who already proved he can play with this injury and is still mobile enough to create problems and make plays? Or do we prepare for Mac Jones? Both are going to be effective in a similar manner, but then different, comparable. So it's very good to make Jonathan Gannon kind of guess and put in game plans that they have to work on a couple of different things. Brock Purdy's escapability, his ability to throw the vertical pass down the field, which he's more willing to do right now than Mac Jones, or Mac Jones's ability to operate within this offense. I think it's good for Kyle Shanahan, and why not play that card if you have it? It's gamesmanship, and I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, is it worth, you know, Curtis asked, is it worth the risk of aggravating the injury more? The answer is yes for me. Like, I'm a weirdo. If you can play, you play. Like, and there's injured and there's hurt, right? If you can push off, and I love the fact that you talked about stepping into your throws. You go back to week one, the three worst throws he didn't step into fully. Both the interceptions and the out route to Pearsall in the end zone that he kind of just like floated it. And then the, you know, the defender got it. My concern with the turf toe that it is right now, look, if you can go, you go. This is what you play for. This is what you game plan for. Now, if he goes week three, re-aggravates it, then you sit him week four, you bring him back week five. Why? Cause that's the Rams. That is, yes, that is my, like, dude, if you can go, you go. That's period. Like, I'm not one of those. And again, you know, turf toe, I've had it before. It hurts like a mother, but I don't care about pain. There's painful, then there's injured. If you can play, then I'm putting you out there. That's just me, especially with the quarterback position, divisional game. They're undefeated. You're undefeated. You can make a statement and put your freaking foot down on this division in week three. I'm telling you right now, like, I am going with Brock if he can play, period. That's all there is to it. And if it gets, you know, worse, I'll sit him week four because that's not a divisional game. Week five is. So I'm doing whatever the hell it takes to get Brock out there. And the fact that he's practicing on Wednesday, woo, I'm leaning till he's playing. And we'll see. Maybe Kyle got me on this one. He didn't get me on the CMC one. I told everybody CMC is going to be out there just fine. Oh, what's up, Perk? So I'm just saying. So right now, declarative statement, is he playing or is he not playing in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't. Oh. I'm a little bit more on the fence about this. I thought last week that this week he would play. I did think that. I thought that, you know, this week was going to be the week. It was going to be a divisional game and they're going to go for it. So him practicing and stuff kind of pushes that is going to be the case. But I just don't know because I have no idea where his foot is going to be, you know, when it comes to game time. But I think if it's close, I think we're in agreement that he's going to play. I think if it's not, they will wait. But the divisional game means a lot more than the Jacksonville game. The Jacksonville game, it's non-conference. It's really not as important as this Arizona game. They're all important, but it's not as important as this game. So if he can go, he needs to go. But you know, I just don't know where he's at. And Kyle keeps saying it's not a turf toe. So if it's not a turf toe, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah, there we go. And you know, Seattle, shout out to Alex. He was talking about dog tags. Dude, I got these dog tags right here, man. You can't talk trash on those. These are amazing. He makes those for all the Seattle Faithful chapter, which is so cool. My son has them. He's got them hanging up in his room. We all got them. But yeah, you know, see, Alex says basically comes down with the doctors say. If he can go, then yeah, he's got to play. Today's practice report will tell us a lot. If he's limited again, I bet he plays. If he's out there today, I think he plays. I think the only way is if he misses and has an out Thursday or Friday. Outside of that, I mean, shoot, we're Thursday, got Friday, Saturday walkthrough, Sunday at home. I expect him to be playing. What's up, Wally Llama? Yeah, Brock isn't an elite healer. There we go. It's all that. It's those country boys, baby. Oh, what's up, Travis Key? How you doing, man? Brock Purdy. I love it, man. You're the best. Can't wait to hang out in Houston, man. Going to be excited about that one. He's going to be down there. Love it, love it. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Now, I want you to talk to me about the fourth quarter. Last year, we were on here time and time again. We've been doing this show for a couple years now. And I've known you, Ant, for I think 3 to 4 years. And by the way, everybody make sure you go check out 49ers Cutback on Patreon. He's got bonus shows on there. If you've been messing with 49ers Cutback for a while, him and Alex have a bonus show on there. The film breakdowns are up. All that's up. Just go to patreon.com/49ers Cutback. Subscribe. Trust me. You are going to be very, very happy you did. Support the man. He does great work. But last year, we were always talking about Nick Sorensen giving up all those fourth quarter points. My man, NY Niners, we went through and looked at last year. The 49ers had a negative 77 point differential in the fourth quarter for the season. Negative 77. That is just ridiculous. It's that's why we lost so many games last year. So, week one, the 49ers outscored 10-3. They were up, right? So it's plus 7 point differential. And then week two, the Saints, it was tied. So you're at 17-10 point differential in the fourth quarter, and now you're 2-0. Talk to me just about how much of a difference Robert Saleh has made just in the fourth quarter and how that's helped with this, you know, 2-0 winning record.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it in closing time, right? The first game of the season, they had to do it on the last drive. They had to go close things down And they did. And that was something we used to see in 2019. The 49ers would finish games under Robert Saleh. And that was something John Lynch talked about a lot. We need finishers. We need guys that are going to go finish this game. And that's what we're seeing again. But it was extended. They had to do it on two consecutive drives because the offense, you know, couldn't get that first down and be able to milk the clock like we saw a lot in the 2023 season. So when you saw a success from the defense, you didn't see it from the offense. But Robert Saleh's calls and the way that he approached it were fantastic. It started with good special teams, getting them backed up, number one. Then after that, Robert Saleh did a very good job on that next to last drive of making it very difficult on Spencer Rattler, not giving him his first reads. And then Mikel Williams got one heck of a rush up the middle. But it's nice to have a guy that understands the situation and understands what he needs to do when it comes to calling defense. That last drive of the game, he allowed Spencer Rattler to check it down, to throw it underneath. We're going to let you use time. We're going to let you use clock. It's the old prevent defense, but it wasn't completely prevent, right? They weren't playing as loose as most prevent defenses, but they rallied to make tackles. They kept everything underneath them. And when it got near midfield, Robert Saleh's like, that's it. You're not going any further. We're coming after you. And I thought that that was a great way to go about it. This is a different style. It's a bend and don't break, but it's a guy that will go finish you when a time needs to come. And that's what Robert Saleh brings. Him and D'Amico Ryans have been the only defensive coordinators that have been willing to finish people off and not just sit back and let things happen. I love that.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out to the legend Tommy Dello in the chat, man. That is put a smile on my face, brother. Great to see you here, man. Great to see you. And I'll say this. Look, Arizona, they're the exact opposite. So now they're 2-0 as well. They have scored 0 points in the fourth quarter in their two games. They have given up 16 points in both games in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they were up huge. They were up like 27-3 halfway through the third quarter against the Panthers. And they came down to the last possession. You got to go to the Saints like that. Dropped touchdown pass from tying and go to overtime. So the Cardinals are the opposite. They are a first half team that gets out front and then but that's who the Cardinals have been, even under Cliff Kingsbury. I think it's much more, you know, we're in our seventh year of Kyler Murray now. Isn't that crazy? Like 7 years of Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa. But when you're looking at that, this has been a Kyler Murray trait through college, through two head coaches at Arizona. Man, they get out early in the season. They always have a great record early. Then they fall off late. They get out early in games and they fall off late. So the fact that you're already establishing this trend and the team is believing, look, when the defense needs a stop in the fourth quarter, we're not only going to do it once, we'll do it twice like you did against the Saints. Like that is setting a tone and a culture and an expectation. We don't bend in the fourth quarter. We don't. And the fact that you're playing the Cardinals, who are the exact opposite, they're front runners. They struggle with adversity and they barely hang on for the end. Oh, yeah, Alejandro. He's like, yeah, I remember dreading the fourth quarter last. And last year was the anomaly. Under Steve Wilks, who everybody talks about, first in the NFL in fourth quarter points allowed. First. You went from first to dead last. Nick Sorensen, all those injuries, whatever else. But the offense was bad, too. Now, the offense is kind of contributing and do what they got to do thanks to Jake Tonjes, right? I freaking love me some Jake Tonjes. So, anyway, the fourth quarter, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I kind of segued in there. Can you talk to me about Jake Tonjes filling in for that George Kittle role? You kept Luke Farrell as the tight end too. His role didn't change at all. Jake Tonjes and his receiving prowess, you know, he was kind of a receiving guy, but can you just talk to me just about what he brought out blocking and kind of what you thought of the offense with number 88 out there instead of George Kittle? Obviously, there's no George Kittle replacement. There's not one. But dude, you call a screen to Tonjes on the second play of the game? It kind of turned me on a little bit. What'd you think of 88 out there, Jake Tonjes?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much the Ross Dwelly 2019 role, right? Ross Dwelly had to make some of those plays. He played in the backfield, did some fullback things when Kyle Juszczyk was out. And that's kind of what Jake Tonjes is. I think he's more athletic than Ross Dwelly. I think he's got better hands than Ross Dwelly. Dwelly's a good player. Like, he was effective in his time in San Francisco, the early portions at least. I think Jake Tonjes has more ability. And we got to remember that Jake Tonjes used to be a fullback for the Chicago Bears, right? He was an undrafted free agent, and they allowed him to make the team as a fullback. And that's what he did early on in that season. I think he wore like number 47 to give you an idea of who he was supposed to be. He didn't last long, but that's what kind of gives him the ability to step in this dual role and why they feel comfortable with him doing it. Now, the blocking's not always clean, right? He's got to get a little bit better. Some of his positioning's a little off, things like that. But what I love
his targeting point is the thing that kept getting like on those back samurai or X blocks, wherever you're going against the grain, like you got to get your head and shoulder across to cut off the thing. He's making great contact. It's just his aiming point needs some work, in my opinion. I didn't want to cut you off, but like that. Oh, yeah, no. I agree with you 100% there.
No, great addition, because that's exactly the point is those are the types of things. It's his setup, right? It's kind of how he's getting himself in position. That's a little incorrect. And I think that's going to come. Some of it is because you're coming from different areas, right? Different lines. There's a lot of different things that you have to do. And so all that is going to take time. But I love the fact that he's filling in. He was able to compete, give the 49ers an opportunity. And like you said, he is an effective pass catcher, which means they still have a weapon at tight end. And if Kyle Shanahan's willing to throw a screen to Jake Tungis, he's willing to do anything with Jake Tungis. And we've seen him stretching the seam vertically and putting pressure on safeties. He's a good receiver. And that's what they always needed with that third tight end, was a guy that could affect the game with his receiving numbers. He's not going to ever be George Kittle, and we know that, but he can be effective. And that's all you need in this offense right now, is effective. And he provides that. And look at the versatility. You don't have Kyle Juszczyk, but you have Jake Tungis, and he can fill in. It's not going to be as good like we talked about Kittle or with Juszczyk, but it's still acceptable NFL play.
And I'll add this too, and I've said this for years. The degree of difficulty and blocks that the 49ers ask out of Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle, it is a level 10 degree of it's not just blocking the man in front of you. That's kind of what Luke Farrell does a little bit more. It's, man, you're doing those cutback blocks, those dig out blocks. You're going full speed against defensive ends, defensive tackles with space. Like, they are asking you the highest degree of difficulty, play in and play out. And the film watchers understand that. And so Tungis has to step in for Kittle. That's one thing. But then 10 plays into the game, now Kyle Juszczyk's hurt too. So now, guess what, buddy? You got to learn the fullback role too. At least he gets to practice both those this week. Also, I think calling up Braden Willis, that's going to help a little bit, just alleviate the mind meld that he has to do for learning two of the hardest positions in the NFL. So I'm hoping things simplify for him. I know 1 week's a lot to ask, especially against a multiple defense like the Cardinals. We'll talk about that in a second, but I'm so pleased with just how he has constantly just stepped up to the challenge and gotten the job done. You know, I've always called Roz Dwelly duct tape Dwelly, because whenever somebody went down, he would step in whatever position that is. Jake Tungis is 2.0, but with more athleticism, right? Like, hey, that's what he brings. So excited to see number 88. And I really hope that he's one of those guys that's just going to be around for a while and could just, man, lock down that number 3 tight end role. I wanted them to draft some. I was dead set on Harold Fannin, who was a home run pick for another team, but that's okay. We got other great players too. So I'm not upset. When we were live on the draft, I would have used that pick 75 on Harold Fannin or Jacob Parrish. Both those guys are crushing it, by the way. Nick Martin, I'm not writing him off yet just because he's been, you know, a healthy scratch. We have one of the best linebacker rooms in the NFL. But anyway, one of my shadow Niners that I constantly go back to is like, oh, Harold Fannin. I knew he was going to be great. Now, I want to talk Connor Colby and some of the mistakes that Ant has seen on tape right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And A lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
And I just want to say, man, we are going to be at Tampa Bay, Houston, and New York. Those are our next 3, week 6, week 8, week 9. Come on out. Listen to my man, Joe. He says, if anyone here gets a chance to go to a Rush party, go, go, go. Had the time of my life up in Seattle. Man, that is so kind. And Sal saying, looking forward to New York. I love that we have somebody named Sal in the chat talking New York. I'm just the happiest man ever as a Sopranos fan. I'm just, yeah, I got a smile on my face. All right, now. I'm most excited of all the rookies. All the rookies. My number one is definitely Marquise Siegel. I love these late round guys. But the consistent tape of Connor Colby. And you are the O-line expert. You are the freaking man. I value your opinion as much as anybody else in this field. Talk to me about Connor Colby, what you saw on tape, and what you're excited about moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I thought Connor Colby did a good job, you know, and one of the things that I loved about it was he was prepared for the moment. Jalen Moore, you know, a few years ago, he wasn't prepared when the 49ers played Denver. He didn't expect Trent Williams to go down, and he was not good. And so one of the first steps is just being prepared. And I thought Connor Colby looked prepared. He knew what he was supposed to do. And then he went out there to go get it done. Now, it's not always perfect, right? There's still mistakes that he's making, whether that's on, you know, some of his run blocking, he's still not getting quite to his landmarks, not always effective there, or even picking up some of the stunts and twists. Like, he's struggling a little bit, overcommitting, not being prepared to, you know, be able to come back. Like, those things are happening, but you expect that from a young guy in his development. What I love is that the fact when I watched him at training camp and I watched him in the preseason and then I watched him in this game was how vastly different he was. That means he's growing, he's learning, he's getting more consistent. And with offensive line play, that's all you can ask for is consistency. Let's have 3 good plays before we have 1 negative play. And I think that's the good thing about Connor Colby. He's definitely developed a lot. I like his strength. He's got a pretty good anchor, which I love to see. He's got the athletic ability to be able to get to the second level. He packs a heavy punch. And I've seen him moving guys off the line of scrimmage, which is not a norm for interior offensive linemen with 49ers. Dominic Pooney does that, and that was it. Well, guess what? Now we got another guy in Connor Colby that can do that. So you get some interior push. And I'm going to say something controversial. With how good Jake Brendel's been playing through 2 weeks, that actually makes for a very good interior offensive line right now, which I love, and I hope they can keep it up. But this is good news for the 49ers. Connor Colby is ahead of schedule, guys. The way Marquise Siegel is ahead of schedule, Connor Colby's ahead of schedule. And that's good because they need him right now in place of Ben Bartsch.
What would it take for him? You know, Ben Bartsch goes on IR. What would it take for him to keep this job? We've seen this in the past. Spencer Burford did it, you know, way back in the day. Dominic Pooney did it. Now it's a very similar situation. What do you think the 49ers want to see from Connor Colby to say, you know what, this is your job now?
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to be very hard. Spencer Burford, it would have been like his biggest competition. He's hurt. I don't think that that's a real avenue to go with anymore. There's no real pressure behind him. Drew Moss isn't going to take his spot. I don't think they're going to go with Matt Hennessy. So I honestly think that this is his job, you know, and as long as he plays consistent over the next 4 to 6 weeks before Ben Bartsch comes back, it's going to be his deal. And if he plays as good as he played against New Orleans and gets a little bit better, a little bit more consistent, there's no reason for them to go a different direction. Now, if he starts struggling and he starts really getting picked on, I expect Arizona to target him. I do. I expect them to try to get him with some of those pressure package looks that Jonathan Gannon likes to run on third down and kind of run some guys around with twists and stunts. And I think that is where I'm a little concerned about him. If that happens, then maybe you start to have some concerns. But I think he's up for the challenge. I think this guy is learning so rapidly that I think that Chris Foerster's really got the pulse on who he is and how they can develop him. I think he's athletic. He's strong. I think he can pull it off.
Here's what's crazy, right? Like, I love the test that he has the next 2 weeks. Arizona Cardinals has Calais Campbell, one of the oldest players in the NFL, still playing at a high level. He's a top 20 defensive tackle, PFF. Like, I watched the tape. Good Lord, he still jumps off the tape. Then the following week, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and guess what? You got Eric Armstead, who they got playing inside. So we're going to get to see Connor Colby against two of the old guards, you know, power players. You talked about that anchor, which I thought I graded him as an above average anchor, not good, not great anchor in college, but we're going to find out. And so it's going to be back-to-back weeks. Man, iron sharpens iron. What do you got in the mullet number 75? If you can perform against Calais Campbell and Eric Armstead, you get the freaking cutback, rush, stamp, whatever the hell you want to say. Like, it's good. Like, all right, let's go. Then, you know, you want to go week five, the Rams, you know, they've got some great freaking defensive tackles there. So, like, dude, you're going through murderer's row. And the NFL has really invigorated the defensive tackle position. So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of good matchups. I want to see. I'm so pumped about Connor Colby, man. And just hearing you say what you said, the consistency. It doesn't happen from rookies. It doesn't happen from seventh-round rookies. It doesn't happen from seventh-round rookies who didn't start week one. It's just like, good Lord. Like is Connor Colby going to be one of the guys that's mentioned along with Brock Purdy, right? We've always had these fifth-round gems in the Shanahan Lynch era. Can we start getting to those seventh-round gems? That would be pretty awesome. We could add Connor Colby to that list. We'll see. It's been one game, but I'm excited. Now, Ant, I don't want to be overly positive all the time. I like to be positive. Give me a critical take, a negative thing that you've seen on tape that you're like, you know what? This player, this scheme, this has to get fixed or it's going to cost the Niners in the future.
I think that there were a couple of things. You know, I think defensively we saw a little bit of a flaw with Bernardo Green. You know, one of the things with Bernardo Green is I think this matchup against Arizona actually is a way better matchup for him, where you're getting the more big physical type wide receiver. But when he gets against those guys that are a little bit quick, really good at in and out of their breaks, that's where That's where he has a little bit of the problem. Chris Olave turned him inside out a couple of times and really got him to kind of flip his hips and then absolutely broke on him. I think those are the matchups I'm worried about the most for Bernardo. I want to see how he handles that. And I think he's going to get tested, right? It was Upton Stout in week one. Upton Stout met the challenge in week two. Week two, though, it was Bernardo Green that was kind of getting tested a little bit. And I want to see him rise to the occasion and see what he could do. I'm not writing him off, but I think that right now that's a concern because Demo's playing really well on the other side. So teams are going to look that way in that direction. I think that's one thing. I think the other thing I want to stay on defensive side of the ball is Robert Saleh and this defense in the red zone. I thought that they got exposed a little bit in the red zone this week. Some of it was matchups. Some of it was good Kellen Moore offense, right? Calling a rub play, getting Demo picked. But that Jason Pinnock one-on-one, I know we like Pinnock. You know, I know that Robert Saleh loves him. He drafted him as a nickel corner. But Pinnock is not a corner anymore. And I think that they got to treat him more like a safety. And getting those one-on-one matchups with wide receivers is probably not the best matchup. He had good coverage on the second one. I'm going to give him credit, but I think that's just something to watch and kind of figure out, because red zone, you can't allow a team to go 3-for-3 in the red zone and be a successful defense for the long term. So that's something they got to figure out.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I want to say is you talked about how this is a better matchup for Renardo Green. You got Marvin Harrison Jr., big physical wide receiver. You got Zay Jones, big physical wide receiver. I remember watching him at ECU. I really liked his tape. And then you got the Stanford kid. Oh, my goodness. His name's Wilson. Yeah, Michael Wilson. There we go. I was going to say Mac Wilson, but that ain't right. Like, Mac Wilson plays on their defense, actually. They've got their three wide receivers are big, X-bodied type wide receivers. That's what Renardo Green had most of his success at college at Florida State, and last year at like DK Metcalf, that was like his best matchup. And so those little finesse kind of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Chris Olave, these smooth kind of, you know, silver surfer float on air type guys, they give them a problem. The bigger physical bull, which is hilarious because Renardo Green's tiny. I think the 49ers have the three smallest corners in the NFL, and Upton Stout, Diamador Lenore, and Renardo Green, like they're tiny. But they play well with their physical attitude and mentality against these bigger wide receivers. They're pesky. It's really weird, the prototype that the Niners like at the corner position. I'm with you there. And I think that's, you know, definitely something that we want to watch and kind of pay attention to. What's up, my man, JP? All right, let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. We started talking about injuries, and you and I didn't take the CMC bait before week one. We were like, look, calm down. Look at the tape. You're going to be all right. You see him working out. He's going to be all right. Where would you, if you had to put Christian McCaffrey on a scale of one being not playing last year and 10 being 2023 break the records offensive player of the year, where do you put Christian McCaffrey of 2025, what you've seen so far, right? 1 to 10, give us a number. Is he fully back? Where do you see him at?
I see him at like an 8. You know, I think he's trying to get his legs underneath him still. You know, he didn't have any of the training camp, all the hard work he normally puts in. So he's getting that in right now, right? He's starting to get there. But I see a couple vision things here and there that normally he would have worked out, where he should have went pressed it a little bit further outside, but he cuts up early. You know, maybe he doesn't jump cut quite as fast as he used to because he's kind of trying to figure things out. I think it's all going to figure itself out by week 5 or 6, which is great because that's the Rams. I think that McCaffrey's going to be right back to where he used to be. But you see all the special moments with him in the passing game, right? He's making all those plays. He was running really well in this game against New Orleans. He had some really good carries. So I am very high on Christian McCaffrey. I just think, just like Trent Williams, they're working into shape right now. They're going through their preseason portion of the season. And I think at some point they're going to really take off. And I think that's McCaffrey's game. And this run game's, it got better against New Orleans. I know they didn't run for as many yards, but I'm telling you, the blocking was better. You know, McCaffrey was better. And it's going to take off. It could be this week against Arizona. I know they're a good run defense, but there are avenues to run the ball against that defense. And that defense didn't have as many carries against them because they were up big on New Orleans and they were up big on Carolina. See what happens when they're in a close game and they got to stop the run consistently.
Yeah, Rob Johnson says 8. I put in my notes, I would say an 8. I was going to say like 8.3, but, you know, that's just me being a douche or whatever. But like that and I agree. Like, and I try to tell people this, like Christian McCaffrey, what has made him special has never been speed. He's never been slow, but he's never been the fastest guy in his own running back room. Like Elijah Mitchell's faster than him. Isaac Garrido's faster than him. You go back to Stanford, like, yeah, he was fast. He ran a 4.4, but that's not how he won. He won with vision. He won with cutback, feet, all those things. And I remember writing in my draft profile of Christian McCaffrey. That's how long I've been doing this stupid thing. It's not stupid. I love it. I was like, if he was just a slot wide receiver, he would be drafted in the second round. Like if he was just the receiver. And I love that they asked Kyle Shanahan, like, oh, where do you put Christian McCaffrey, you know, running routes and receiving out of the backfield? He's like, oh, he's the best I've ever been around. He's been around some pretty damn good running backs in his tenure, especially with his dad and all those things. So I do think that Christian McCaffrey is quote unquote back, but what's happening is, and Shanahan talked about this too. I talked about this show on Tuesday. You're seeing a lot of shell two high safeties. They're trying to force, look, we're not going to give you the pre-snap read, but we're buzzing our safeties late at the end. So we're giving you, look, check to the run play. Then we're going to scream down to the edges as an extra force edge player to stop those outside zone tosses or stretch plays or whatever you want to call them. That's where it is. But they're coming. The big plays will be there, but not like what we're used to seeing in 2023. I don't think that this offense, especially with no Ayuk, there's no Debo, there's not that guy to stretch over the top. The 49ers are using Ricky Pearsall in that facet right now, and I don't think that's really his best avenue for that, but you got to have somebody, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling is that. If you don't have the guy to take away the top of the defense, you're going to trouble. Jordan Watkins can do that. When does he come back? Brandon Ayuk can do that. When does he come back? I think that's going to matter. Shout out to Notorious GAV, one of the best in here. Even at 80%, CMC is still better than 99% of the running backs in this league. I agree. Monkey says, you know, when CMC gets back into step, hoping Robinson gets used to the system, the vision's a problem. He's looked a little too much like Isaac Garrido, running into his own blockers, running into defenders, stopping his speed. He'll get there. He'll get there. Rob, CMC looks close to breaking one of those big ones. It's only a matter of time. I love it when Christian McCaffrey gets an 11-yard run and is pissed off. He's mad that he only got 11 yards. Like, the fact that we're starting to see that, I think that that kind of matters. I really, really do. Now, speaking of getting guys back, This is the last week without DeMarcus Robinson. He's suspended through 3 weeks. You get him back week four against the Jacksonville Jaguars. When do you think, and what does the wide receiver room look like, jumping a week ahead here, with DeMarcus Robinson when he gets back?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson, and then Kendrick Bourne after that. DeMarcus Robinson is really good, and he was very good in training camp. He was very good in the preseason. He is, you know what I love about those four guys? They're all professional wide receivers. They know how to run clean routes. They know how to create separation on their own. They all use different ways to do it, but all of them can do that. They all can block, which Kyle Shanahan loves. I mean, I love watching Kendrick Bourne come running in, make a block, and then go just so excited about the block. Not a catch that he made, a block. That's the kind
little,
of energy.
His little, yeah. You know, Puff Daddy shimmy that he does in the middle of the field.
Oh, yeah, he's just getting into it, you know, and I love that. So I think that DeMarcus Robinson is going to be a big addition for this 49ers offense. He's going to add right away. And think about the question marks and concerns 2 weeks ago about this wide receiver room. Well, now it's looking pretty darn good. And it's only going to get better once Brandon Ayuk comes back into the fold. But you're talking about, you know, Sky Moore. He's not really an offensive guy right now. They're not doing any gadget things with him. But you don't need him when you got all those other guys that can make plays for you. So KB and DeMarcus Robinson will be, you know, going in and out depending on looks and formations. They can give Juwan Jennings a little bit of a break here and there. I love it. I think the 49ers are going to have a really good wide receiver room starting next week.
There we go. There we go. And, you know, right here, Jordan, has Robinson been allowed to practice while injured? No, you can't practice with the team, but you can be with the team. That's something they changed after the Ezekiel Elliott, one of his suspensions. They want him to be around the facility and stuff, but you can't dress. So he's out there with Brandon Ayuk and all that kind of stuff, like in street clothes, like you don't get to practice, but you can be with the team. You can be in meetings. You get to do all that stuff. You just can't practice. So that's a big reason why DeMarcus Robinson got all those reps in the preseason and training camp. He was out there with the threes so that you could have that. So he's had 3 weeks off. For now, he still gets to work out. He still gets to do all those things, just not padded practices. So yeah, that is part of it. So he'll be in football shape, but yeah, he's going to have to go through the practices and all that kind of stuff. And I'll remind everybody outside of George Kittle, every quarterback's best friend this entire training camp was DeMarcus Robinson, whether it was Mac Jones, Carter Bradley, Tanner Mordecai, Brock Purdy, didn't matter. Number five, wherever he was the guy. Remember, Juwan Jennings didn't practice. And so you had him out there all the time. He was just doing everything. So that's where he is. So, yeah, he's not injured. He's suspended. But, no, you cannot practice. But you can be with the team. I think that's one of the things that the NFL kind of got right. I think they did right on that. Now, it is time to look forward. If you did not listen to 49ers cutback yesterday on his very first, you know, Arizona Cardinals preview, good Lord, I'm over there taking notes. I'm scribbling down. So we're going to ask and some questions about the 49ers versus Cardinals next, right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. Now, we have talked a lot about 49ers injuries, right? I mean, it's bad. And it's not so much just having injuries. It's stacking injuries at position. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the Arizona Cardinals, but they are out not one, not two, not three, not four. Five of their top six corners are injured currently. Talk to me just about what that looks like, man. How do you even go through film and scout whenever you've got corners being called up from the practice squad that are starting at not one but two positions? The Cardinals are banged up at that spot. And banged up at a couple other spots too. This is the NFL. 100% injury rate eventually. Talk to me just about how you would attack these Cardinals with five out of six of their top corners not being, yeah, one of them's, and it might be maybe, so it might be four out of top six, but how do you attack that? What's your plan there, Ant?
Yeah, I think you're probably going to get Max Melton to play. I mean, he's practicing, so it's likely he's going to play. Will Johnson's not practicing, so his availability for Sunday is completely up in the air. So that could mean Cantrell Clark is going to be a starting cornerback, or even Denzel Burke, you know, who they drafted in the fifth round out of Ohio State.
He didn't play last week either.
No, and I'm sure 49ers fans know who he is. You know, he's a pretty good zone corner, one of your faves. See, there you go. And so, you know, they got some guys still. But what does that mean? I think this is going to be one of the keys in this game. What does that mean of how they approach it? Do they go three safety look? You know, in certain situations, do they go to a nickel corner? Because I think if they go to a nickel corner, and this is whether Will Johnson plays or not, they are susceptible to 11 personnel run. Because Kendrick Bourne, Juwan Jennings, and Ricky Pearsall can block those guys. Will Johnson's not exactly known for his run stopping, you know, and this is part of the weakness that I think that they'll get it if they get Cantrell Clark on the field as well. So I wonder where the Cardinals kind of draw that line of, hey, let's put a extra safety in, which makes us susceptible to the 49ers passing game, or let's put in a cornerback that makes us more susceptible to the run game and could also make us still susceptible to the passing game because the 49ers receivers are physical. I think there's some advantages to 11 personnel. We don't normally talk about the 49ers going 11 personnel. They did it a lot last week in New Orleans in the second half, and I think there's some advantages for it this week as well with those cornerbacks. I think the 49ers got some opportunities to make some big plays against that secondary, not because of the safeties, but because of those corners.
Look at this. We got the fullback account calling for air raid system, baby. Let's get some Pac-12 after dark out there. Let's just start airing it out. So, okay, let's say they go 11 personnel. That means one running back, one tight end. Who are your three wide receivers you're putting out there in that situation?
I'm going with Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, and Kendrick Bourne. Those are your best blockers. That's your most effective unit, and I think that they all can win. They're all experienced. You know, they're all going to be tough. Juwan Jennings can bully Will Johnson if that's the cornerback that they line up on him, you know, at certain times. He's more physical. He can bully him.
And Will Johnson does not like contact.
He doesn't. And that's an advantage for the 49ers. And I see that with other guys. The other guys are, Max Melton's a tough guy, right? He's going to play physical, but he doesn't have the strength to hold up. Same with Cantrell Clark. Those guys are feisty. I don't want to say anything negative about them, but they are a little bit smaller and not quite as good in coverage. So I think the 49ers have an advantage there. And I think those three guys make the most sense. I still think you're going to see MVS. He's going to press the sidelines. I think Mac Jones missed a couple opportunities to rip balls down the field to Kendrick Bourne and MVS. There was a couple times that he missed it. The strip sack could have easily been a touchdown throw. He just didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's flip it to the other side. The kind of issue early on in Robert Saleh's career was stopping the mobile quarterback. That was a major issue. And, you know, Bobo, he brings that up. We also got Notorious asking, will Saleh be able to stop the mobile quarterback? Kyler Murray hasn't really been great. He's been Kyler Murray, which he's going to run around. He's going to keep the ball in his hand, running around like this the whole time and whatever else. But, like, I don't know. The Cardinals want to run the football. That is Drew Petzing, their offensive coordinator's entire philosophy. They want to run with James Conner, Trey Benson. They want to run with the quarterback. What are your thoughts on the matchup of Robert Saleh and this defense? Has answered every damn call so far. But you haven't seen really the mobile quarterback. Sam Darnold's, you know, he's athletic, but he's no Kyler Murray. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of a contrast in styles, right? The 49ers have been just aggressively going after the first two quarterbacks, right? They get their NASCAR unit out there, and hey, let's go for broke. A couple times Spencer Rattler was able to take advantage of that. When you go against these mobile quarterbacks, you have to be willing to have rush lane integrity. What I think Robert Saleh is going to do for the most part is bring a fifth defender. That's one way to slow it up. It kind of clogs lanes a little bit, but you have to earn the right to do that. And that you have to get the third down and long. And if you look at Kyler Murray, he struggled so much this year with pressure. He's been sacked three times under pressure, he's got a really bad completion percentage. It's when he doesn't get pressure on him that he's effective. So you've got big, tall guys who rush the passer who can all get their hands up, and I think they're going to bring an extra guy, whether that's D. Winters or Fred Warner or Upton Stout or Jason Pinnick, all guys who are good blitzers. I think that's how they'll kind of try to keep him in the pocket. But the same methodology rings true. We've got to earn the right to rush the passer on third down, which means first and second down stops. And I think that's how they'll keep Kyler Murray within the pocket. And when he gets sacked, he loses more yards than any other quarterback in the NFL. It is the worst. And because of that, you get one sack and the drive might be over.
And that's kind of the Robert Saleh philosophy. Can you execute 10 times a 10-play drive all the way down without having a negative play? Because if we get you a third and long, we're going to get you. You know what I mean? We're going to force the check down. We're going to rally and tackle. We're going to do those things. That's kind of what it is. I like Big Papa's question here. Will Huff be able to chase down Kyler? I like Bryce Huff, and he is quick. He's not one of those all-out effort guys, I will say, after watching tape 2 weeks in a row. But Sabo, I think Alfred Collins, those Mikael Williams, those young pups, that their effort has been glaring in a positive way. Like, you want to talk about guys that are going to chase it down. I want to see Alfred Collins chase a dude down outside the numbers again. I know he's not that fast, but, man, he goes all out all the time. He overran a couple plays. I'm a big fan there. This is a concern for me, though. Mikael Williams setting the edge in the run game, not concerned. Mikael Williams not losing that outside edge in a pass rush on a second down whenever he, you know, he's not being kicked inside for NASCAR, like a second and six or whatever. That is a concern for me. I saw some bad angles, you know, in his pursuit drill a couple times now in 2 weeks in a row. So that is a little bit of a concern for me. I want Kyler Murray to beat us from the pocket. Like, I don't care. I want sacks. But if you can force Kyler Murray to throw the ball 40 times, I'd be so excited. Like the middle of the field is still just oblivious to him. He has the fewest passes attempt between the numbers from 10 to 20 yards in the NFL. He just can't throw it. He can't see it. Can't see it. You got to somebody give him a booster seat so he can see over people in the middle of the field. Like, that just creates, you don't have to guard all that field. You can widen your splits whenever your linebackers are dropping. I don't know, man. Do you have a concern? Give me a concern real quick just about kind of the 49ers and what you are concerned about against this Cardinals team.
Offensively or defensively, does it matter?
It don't matter, man. I just want Ant's wisdom rain down upon us.
I think the first thing would be Trey McBride. You know, I think that Trey McBride is a tough matchup. We saw last week, Juwan Johnson was pretty good. And if he wouldn't have had a couple of drops, he would have been even better. And I think that that's one of the keys is Trey McBride against, you know, Marky Siegel and Jason Pinnick. And they're going to try to find some matchups where they get McBride on those guys. I don't worry about Fred. I don't worry about D. Winters. Those guys are phenomenal. But I do worry about the safeties a little bit and how they can kind of work that thing out. And that's that safety blanket you're talking about. Kyler Murray, you know, that's where the throws over the middle, they go to Trey McBride. He's the one that makes all those plays. So he's the one I'm the most worried about when the 49ers are on defense, because I think he can be the most effective. We always have to worry about the run game and them being able to establish the run game. Because if they do, we've seen them run over the 49ers in the past. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the 49ers are going to be more stout against the run this year. But I'm having eyes on Trey McBride, who I see as the second best tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, without George Kittle playing, Trey McBride is the best tight end in the NFL. He's better than Brock Bowers. I don't know if he's going to play or not either. But he's a more complete tight end. Like, I would put Dallas Goedert in, like, the honorary kind of conversation. I like Kraft a little bit. Like, there's some guys. But Trey McBride is him. There is no doubt about it. So this game's huge. You got to win your division. So you've got week three, Cardinals at home. Then you stay at home again with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then week five, you are traveling to Levi South, which is somewhat of a home game. And we're giving away two tickets next week on this show, September 25th, Thursday on the Coach Approach, 10 a.m. We're going to be giving away two tickets, 49ers at Rams at SoFi Stadium. That game is going to be played October 2nd. Two tickets in the 200 section with a pink park tailgate pass. The only place you can tailgate at Levi's. These are going for over $1,500 right now on TickPick. You get one chance. You can enter for $20. You get three chances for $50. You want to buy multiple? That's there. Go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams or go into the description of this video. You'll see the link there. Make it super, super easy. Every single penny that is raised here goes to Bruno, a friend of the family. He's 3-year-old fighting through leukemia. We're trying to do what's right here. So win the tickets, sell them. Win the tickets, go. Give them to a faithful. Don't give a damn. But whatever you do, try to support this cause. We're fighting for that little man because he's fighting for his life and he's crushing it. I'm so proud of him. Absolutely incredible story. So the 49ersrush.com/Rams. 1 week from today, we'll be announcing that winner. So you have time to make your plans and whatever else. So check that out. And you are a freaking legend. My 49ers fandom is better because of you. And I just want to say thank you for all you do for the community. What is tomorrow's slate look like so we can go subscribe to the channel and make sure we don't miss?
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to have the defensive key matchups. You know, I'm going to go through all the defensive key matchups, what the 49ers need to do to win. That's going to be coming out. Also, a Madden sim will be coming out tomorrow as well. Saturday, the game preview show. If you're on Patreon, you get to see, you know, the OG show, me and Alex together doing that. So you can check that out. So yeah, lots of fun. I'm really excited about the slate for the weekend. It just doesn't stop. We're just all content all the time.
I love the season, man. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, you get through the weekly preparation, you have the game, and you just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Nowhere else I'd rather be. Ant, thank you so much, man. You are an absolute legend. And for everybody watching, just want to say thank you. We know you chose to spend your time with us. It is very, very meaningful to us. So thank you, guys. And until next time. Enjoy your 2-0 49ers. Hopefully they get to 3-0 with a 2-0 division start. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,